Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. I want to thank you guys for another day of allowing us to be here, for us to have another opportunity. We are going to be talking today about something that will probably get everybody's goat floating. So we're going to try to keep it easy, but we're all going to have to say what we're going to say about this. Tonight, the topic is, how much does infidelity truly cost? Okay, we all know that if cheating comes out, naturally there's going to be a little argument between the two people involved. The relationship is probably going to be broken up. But think about everything else that you don't see, the stuff that you don't think about. You just think about what's on the surface. But let's think about the children that's involved in these relationships that the affairs have broken up. Let's talk about the feelings that each person involved gets from that, more than just the anger and the hurt of being cheated on, but what it starts to make them think of themselves, or the questions that they have to come up with and they feel they need answers to, the lack of closure, things to that effect, all of that. We're going to be speaking about that, but first up tonight, we will be starting with DJ Dome Records, Welcome to the Stage segment. Before we do, let us give our affiliates their shout-outs. Our wonderful, legendary Barry Maestro Mason, formerly of 98.7 KISS FM Radio in New York, now with iSoulRadio.com under Jay Dixon, and also the CEO of Track One Entertainment. And to my marvelous divas out there, my sweethearts, Stephanie Hammond-Tillett and Marcia Morgan of Simply Sensational Inc. Entertainment, these two ladies and Barry Mason have collaborated at all times, coming up with some great, great events and fun cruises and things to that effect. So just keep your eyes out on Facebook, on our show calendar, and you can keep up to date and be a part of it, especially if you're in the New York area. All right. Before we go to the next voice, which will be that of DJ Domerica, allow me to say thank you once again, because we picked up 125 more callers, more listeners, actually. Overnight, I don't know where you're coming from, like I said, and whoever it is that's networking with you, thank them for us, but we thank you also. We hope that things that we're doing with this show is reaching you in the way that we intend for it to reach you, hopefully to bridge some communication gaps, help you bridge your way up to entrepreneurship with our free advertising and everything else, and anything that we can do to ensure something positive or progress, please don't hesitate to email us or reach out to us on Facebook. All right, so without further ado, we are going to give the mic over to DJ Domerica Rodney Williams, and we'll be back right after the segment. Thank you.
What's up, folks? This is DJ Domerica Rodney Williams, the Domerecka, and welcome to the stage. This is a segment of the On the Edge with Katie Barnett and Friends show, and I come to you twice a week to play some great, great music for you. I decided to do something way different from what I have been doing the last few weeks. As you guys can tell, at least here in New York City, it's hot. Matter of fact, it's hotter than hot. And it's well beyond the whole hotter than July thing that's going on. So, I decided, instead of going into a house mode, a reggae mode, a hip-hop mode, a big old party mode, get the water, get the juice, get the ice. If you guys want, go ahead, grab some wine, get an easy chair, sit back, relax. We got some jazz going on tonight. So, chill mode. Let's go.
Thank you.
Okay, so listen, I'm just trying to bring it to you cool like Cool Whip here. Once again, this is DJ Domewrecker, Rodney Williams, the Domewrecka. This was Welcome to the Stage, and I would like to go ahead and run the playlist for you of some of the jazz tracks I threw down. We started off with Storm King by the great Bob James, featuring the guest Grover Washington Jr. on CTI Records. I want to say this is about 1976, actually, yes, 1976. We went on to another record on CTI, Stanley Turrentine. Track was called Speedball, from the album called The Baddest Turrentine, 1972. Went back a little bit further and pulled out some Lionel Hampton from an album called Swinging with Hampt, Swinging with Hampt, on the Verve recording, on the Verve Records label. A little tongue-tied here tonight. It's kind of hot. The track was called Je ne sais pas. Dave Brubeck Quartet. The track is called This Can't Be Love. This is from the album Bossa Nova USA from 1963, Columbia Records. And we ended off things with a jazz instrumental version of the Stevie Wonder classic My Cherie Amour by the Ramsey Lewis Trio on Cadet Records. This was recorded in May of 1969 at Termar Studios, Chicago. If you guys want to get in contact with me, soundworksmediainc@gmail.com. Look for my mixes on mixcloud.com/domewrecker. That's Domewrecka. And I will see you guys next week. Maybe it'll be a few degrees cooler. I hope so, and I think you should hope so. Finish up those drinks, folks. See you next week. Peace.
On the Edge, we'll talk about real issues.
Welcome back, folks, to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. That was Mr. Domewrecker doing his thing, giving us a little jazz today, little cool off for this heat that we're going through, and it's hot, folks. I know all of you Westerners and Southerners out there are thinking we're complaining like babies because you have this weather normally, but it is hot and smoking for New York, so it is hot. All right. Tonight's topic is, how much does infidelity truly cost? How much does it truly cost? We are going to be speaking on how cheating affects not just the two people involved. How does it affect the person that was guilty of cheating with the person who was involved? How does it affect children? And then more so on a different level. It's not just what you see or what the obvious stuff is, but what the inner chain of command comes from or what the domino effect is from the actual act of cheating. So we will be having a live panel discussion this evening, of course. You know how we do it over here. And I want to hear what you guys think. So let me start off with what I was reading. We had a few articles of this. I have articles that talk about how infidelity affects a man, how infidelity affects women, how children are affected by affairs, and then there's some other things. There was an actual survey done by a woman who wanted to put together an article to help people survive infidelity, how to get around it, even if you want to save the relationship that the infidelity was committed on, or if you want to move on for yourself. So I want to try to touch on all of this within the next 90 minutes and see if there is something maybe we can do differently. Now, some of these articles were printed about 3 or 4 years ago, but the most recent one was about children. And that one was just printed this month, or just written this month. And I thought that that was probably the most important one to pay attention to, because sometimes we adults get caught up in the hurt that we feel about a problem, forgetting the fact that our children may not be able to express it the way that we do, but they are going through it worse than we are because of that. They need us to be able to talk about it with. You know, we don't want to let them grow up and then have to blurt it out or blast it out because we're trying to protect them, you know, in the wrong type of way. So, cheating. Well, you know, they always say what you don't know can't hurt you. I think in the aspect or with regards to cheating, that's not true. It's not true at all. Because once it comes out, you're going to have questions about why it had to happen in the first place. If you don't have obvious signs or badness going on in your relationship, cheating is definitely a left-field move. Okay? So you got to deal with the shock of the fact that there was an affair. And then you're going to deal with all the emotional reactions you're going to have to that, the crying, the screaming, if there's hitting. And depending on who did the cheating, men react way differently from a woman when it comes down to finding out something right away. Men do things differently. Now, does infidelity affect or hurt any less to a man if a woman did it than it does to a woman if a man did it? Absolutely not. And the sad thing is that, yes, for the most part, men get a bad rap because of what men are either taught to do or believe in doing or whatever. But there are good men out there that believe in infidelity, that believe in monogamy, that believe in exclusivity, that believe in values and moral, and sex isn't driving them, and their zippers are not controlling their thinking. So for a woman that he gave his heart to cheat on him, that's a big pill to swallow. Now, what I do think that happens for men is that men don't bounce back quickly. They don't trust quickly, like a woman does. A woman will be hurt, and after a certain amount of time, we will try again. A man will stay hard and try to take it out on the next woman or get as much as he can and, you know, possible. Now, moving on to the next thing. The damage of losing your relationship, of course, being kicked out, the screaming, the yelling, any hitting that might happen, that's one thing. And then you, of course, if you have children, the children noticing the parents are fighting and the children noticing one parent left. But now what starts happening when all the instant anger goes down and the hurt is still there, but now there's other aspects to it. This one move now has a woman or a man thinking, what do they have that I don't have? What is it I could have done better? What is it that is on my head? Do I have a sucker tag on my head that people keep doing this to me, or that my man would do this to me, or my woman would do this to me? What about us wasn't good enough for that person to say that no matter how good you look, I want to go home because my wife is beautiful or my man is beautiful? What about the exclusivity of an actual legal marriage before God with vows exchanged? That's a promise of exclusivity under God, under the law, and everything else. Then you start having the person that was involved with the cheating become an enemy. And then that person will start thinking if the person that was not supposed to be cheating with them ended the affair, then there's that problem. And then that person might not want to lose badly. Then you have the children wondering, what was it about me that couldn't make my daddy or my mommy stay home with us? So all of these things come out, and it's more than just what you see. It's more than just the leaving of your home or the fighting. It's more than that. It's somebody that, because of something you chose to do, is questioning themselves when you know they've done nothing to you. It's them questioning who they are and why aren't they good enough. No one has the right to do that to a person. I do have a caller in, and I was bringing them in just a minute. So getting back to the discussion once again, the topic tonight is how much does infidelity truly cost? It's not just the fact that, you know, this happen. And sometimes it's not even just a sexual act. Do it. It's not just the sexual act. It's not just the cheating act. Sometimes it's not even sexual. Sometimes a person feeling that their husband, wife, partner for life or whatever can't trust them enough to share the intimacy that they share with an outsider. So all of these questions come up from a physical act, from a text message, from a look the wrong way in the outside direction. All of these come up. Does infidelity just end with we'll get over it after a while? With we've moved on or we've got this to do? Trust is a factor because you no longer trust that person. Now you're becoming detectives in the wrong way. We're going to be watching every Facebook post they make every time that there's a call that comes through or a text message that this person didn't share with you or tell you about. And then if they are telling you the truth, you're going to start looking at their body language to see if they're trying to pull a fast one on you. What that the paranoia of that is crazy. So I'm going to take one small short break. When I come back, I'm going to bring our panelists in, and we're going to start this conversation, and we're going to get it going.
I notice you from across the room. Excuse me, miss, don't take this wrong. I couldn't resist that smile and those beautiful eyes. I can see that you wear fancy clothes and drive a fancy car. Your hair did and your nails done, looking like a superstar. Can I take you out? Cause there's something that I wanna say. Count seven figures, and I may not have a sailboat and a big old mansion. Oh no, but I do know how to love you, baby. And in my own way, in my own way, I'm rich as hell. I really hope that none of this don't matter, and I hope that you don't judge a man by his status. Wondering if you and I can get together and know each other better. And I promise you, I'll give my all and make my heart your passion. I give you all.
Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Love that song. Love it. Okay, we are discussing what is the true cost of fidelity, and it's actually asking you how much does infidelity truly cost. Now, we are speaking about not just the immediate effects or the obvious effects of when infidelity comes out, but what are the unseen and collateral exponential damage that happens, the stuff that goes on beyond the physical act. We do have a caller coming in, so I'm going to bring in our panelists, and we will get this discussion rolling. Hi, caller, you're on the air?
Yes.
Oh, hello there.
Hello.
Hi, Deacon, hold on. Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
You can hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, 1 second. Hi, you on the air?
Hello, Katie, how are you? Hello, Deacon, how are you?
Hello, how are you? God bless you and your family.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. Tonight's topic is how much does infidelity truly cost? And we're not just speaking about what everybody expects or knows to happen, the affair was found out or discovered, the fighting, the splitting up, the whatever it is. That's not the only things that we're talking about. I want to know, what do you think there is past that? I mean, of course we know that people are going to start wondering, why did you do this? What was the reason? But there's so much more that goes to it. There's about 5 articles I have waiting to reference in a minute that affects men differently, it affects women differently and children. But there's more to that. For years, people start wondering, what was that about me? What does that person have that I don't have? Maybe I should be a little skinnier. Maybe I should cook a little better. Maybe I didn't do enough sexually. That is what an affair does. But to a child, okay, I'll start with that. I think that's the most important group that's affected, because they can't defend themselves or express themselves the way they can. Okay. This one was actually published this month, July 13th. Okay, a survey was done among about 100 children, but there was one case study they did in particular. They changed the name, and we're going to call this couple Alexis and Tony. Okay? Now, they believed for a long time that what you don't know can't hurt you. Okay? But this study was proving that that's not true, okay, because what was happening with the affair on the outside, even though it wasn't known to either person, the absence of their interaction or their affection with each other and to their children was evident. They were cold to each other, they were distant to each other. Okay. They were cold and they were distant, and they weren't paying much attention to the kids anymore. They were pretty much living together, but they were living together in a routine. So I'm going to ask you, Elaine, do you think that infidelity goes further past what people know it to be? The screaming, the yelling, the breaking up, the blame, the anger. Those silent things, do you think that can be effective from being effect from the affair? And how much do you think that's more damaging or less damaging than the actual affair itself? Elaine?
Oh, no, I wasn't sure if you want me to. I mean, I heard your question. No, I think it's damaging. I definitely think it's damaging. I mean, I can't say everyone, but infidelity is a psychological problem. It's a huge psychological problem. I mean, what's the reason of that person cheating on their spouse? What is the main reason? And they don't have a reason. They really don't have a reason. If any therapist could actually analyze that one, all these people who have cheated on their spouse, they're not going to give a good reason why they did it. They just did it out of you know, out, just out of pleasure. No, and there's no other base reason why they do it. So, yeah, I think it's damaging.
Well, the children can't think for themselves, but they notice that their mom and dad are not being open to each other anymore. They're watching them sit at a table not speaking and trying to have small talk as a married couple. So I know I grew up with two parents. My father was mostly out of the house, but he used to think that being in the house and not having abandoned us was something we should be grateful for or happy about. When I remember growing up thinking that I was glad that he was an alcoholic that we didn't see or we knew was on the corner doing something rather than being there and being that way. I think that when they have an affair but they decide to stay together for the sake of the children feel it and actually resent that because then they feel that they're to blame for the misery. So, Deacon Williams, if you're with us, what do you think? Do you think that it's more damaging for what comes after the affair and after the yelling and the screaming? Do you think that the emotional and psychological questions or hidden hurts that go on with the family members and the children, do you think that part is more damaging than the affair itself, or the shock of the affair is a little more damaging?
Well, I say the first part is damaging. Because first we have to look at if there are any children involved. That's first of all. And they pick up on things. These children these days, they pick up on a lot of things. These kids now, they're a lot smarter and they're more keen than a lot of people want to give them credit for. So they pick up on a lot of stuff. So it's more damaging to them than the affair itself. You see, on both parts, there has to be some fault given on both sides, you know, as far as there's an affair, because if either party is not happy in a situation, they should have been able to sit down and talk about it. And if they can't come to that point in the relationship, why even stay in it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you'll have one that figure everything is honey and roses, and then the other one is just, like, miserable. So my belief is, like, in life, you should be happy in all aspects of your life when it comes to a relationship. If you're not happy in all aspects of your life, the relationship is not going to work from the beginning, you know. And then you got to be able to sit down with one another and be honest with one another and put your feelings down out on the table, which they should have been placed out there in the first place. If the relationship doesn't start here in the first place, it's not going to work anyway.
Indeed. Okay. And you're right in that respect. If there were problems in the relationship and maybe an affair or possibility of one was sort of like a warning sign, even though I don't think that should be the resolution to marital problems. The marriage is something different. But however, if only one person is in the marriage trying, period, yeah, maybe you don't have a marriage. And that's one example. But what about the ones where there's a husband or a wife that's making the wife or the husband feel that everything is hunky-dory, you're the best thing since sliced bread, you make me happy and everything, and he's out there living, or she's out there living the good life on both ends. There's been, matter of fact, this survey that was taken out of 130 people, 56% of the people, of the men that were cheating, had happy marriages, no problems at all. And 34% of the women that were in that group that were cheating had great husbands. So what exactly is it that still makes a person go out to cheat? And why don't they think that even though it's something that you're doing undercover, it never stays hidden? And when it comes out, the damage is going to be way more than the physical pleasure. I don't understand that. It begs to ask many questions. What, was I not sexy enough? Was I too fat? Was I too skinny? Was I not curvy enough? Are my breasts too small? And for the guys, is my anatomy not good enough? Do I not, you know, go long enough? These are things that come after you've been yelled and you screamed. These are things that come after that. Why would he do that? Do I have freckle on my head? Why would he hold me, kiss me, you know, sleep with me, do all this, say I'm the best thing in the world and still go out there and do the same. Is he saying the same thing to that woman in bed as he's saying to me? Is she telling him the same thing in bed that she's telling me? And men are different because men will hit the person that they find sleeping with their wife first. A woman, I think, will strategize a little more and go after her another way. But guys will think instantly. So there you go now. You started an affair and you caused this man to react based on what men do, and now he's in jail. And he's hurt.
Yeah.
And as I was saying before you logged on, men usually get a bad rap or get the first peg in infidelity, but it's not just men, it's women.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you do have to think, a marriage, first of all, deserves a lot more work and trying out than a regular live-in relationship or a boyfriend-girlfriend thing. But
okay.
At the same time...
You made a point on a relationship where you figure the couples are happy and both of them have each other thinking that they're both happy. Well, if that's the case, if they're both happy, why is there an affair occurring? To my opinion, if the guy's having the affair and he's got his wife thinking that they're living in a happy marriage or whatever, I can't see that. The only way I can look at him is that he's a very selfish person,
mm-hmm.
you know, and yeah. he's selfish and he doesn't think about anybody but himself, and he wants his cake and eat it too. And I can't understand that. I feel like if you're with your partner and to give them your heart, I mean, that takes a lot. And in a relationship, it takes work. You're not just going to be in a relationship and you think you're not going to have any ups and downs, because you are. But you have to be man and woman enough to sit down and have discussions on how to make those things better. And if you don't do that,
absolutely.
The relationship cannot possibly last.
That's
it can't
right.
possibly last. You know, because
absolutely.
The word love means so many things. The word love is a lot bigger than just a four-letter word. You know, it deals with a lot of things. It's dealing with emotions. It's dealing with your heart. I mean, it's dealing with, I mean, life, period. You know, because God says that's one of the things that we're supposed to do is love one another. So, you know, if God says that we need to love one another, it's more than just a word. You know, when you say that to somebody, it's got to come from your heart. You can't just come out your mouth with it. You know, that's not something to play with. That's a very serious thing.
It is, and it's a commitment even before the marriage. I mean, you're telling somebody that I love you and that, you know, you are my everything. Now, what you said earlier with regards to that being a person that wants to have his cake and eat it too, yes, a lot of that, of the answers in that survey came out from selfish reasons. But now let me just flip the script for a second. Ladies, one of the things we curse about all the time is that we can't find any no good men. But
mm-hmm.
you know what? These men that are out there that are good, they're good, solid people. Women cheaters have gone out there and turned these guys' hearts into, you
mm-hmm.
see, you can't treat a girl, you can't treat a woman like a woman or like a lady because all she's going to do is X, Y, and Z. But guess what, fellas? Those X, Y, and Z ladies are who you dealt with. And see, one thing I had to come to grips with is that God has a purpose for you, and God has a person for you. And it's us that make these pit stops against what God has for us. And because of the hurts and the bad things that we obtain or acquire from our bad choices, we tend to try to put a big old spit on everything, on the whole situation. And when we shouldn't have been getting our comfort levels or our contentment or put our full investment into the pit stops that we caused ourselves. So I'm talking from a woman that has been hurt a million times. I'm talking from a woman who has watched people around me get hurt, from the thousands and thousands of surveys and case studies that you've heard. I'm talking from that aspect, but I'm also talking as a woman who believes in God. And the thing that comes up is this. You might have made bad choices and been hurt 49 times, but it might be that 50th person that God has for you that's going to make everything you went through 49 times before go away. There are plenty of times that there's been signs and signals in relationships that we chose to ignore. There are plenty of standards that we have relaxed for that person that's in our life simply because something about them made us feel that they were amazing and not worth losing. We're forgetting the fact that if you have to bring yourself down or adjust your way of being in any way to fit that person. I'm not talking about bad habits that you can compromise on or things that are not too important to lose out on the person you're with. I'm talking about anything that you got to do too much of that's not for your pleasure as well, like your hairstyle, or you got to lose 59 pounds or you got to gain 50 sizes in a breath, or a guy has to go take some male enhancers or whatever it is for just to be with the person or to make that person happy, then that's not a relationship. And if that person needs you to be all those things, saying that he loves you or she loves you, then they're going to be liable to look for everything in a perfect package elsewhere. And since God didn't make not one person perfect, that means that person will be looking to several people to find the perfection. So I'm asking you cheaters out there to think. Is it that important? Is the bra that important? Is the shorts, the rip cut that important for you to take a minute or an hour or however long you can go to get that pleasure, to come home to a person that is your life investment, look them in the face, lie to them on a single basis, on a daily basis, knowing that whenever they find out what you're going to do, and I didn't say if, I said whenever they find out, all of the things that came out, everything they believed of you is going to be a lie to them. All the questions that they're going to have, all of the self-doubt and the self-blame they're going to put on themselves. Is it going to be worth it? Is it going to be worth losing the love you put into it, the work, the children that you have, the home that you built? Is it going to be worth it? There is another panelist trying to call in. Give me a minute. You are on the air, caller?
Yeah, what's up?
Oh, Miles, hey. Hello. All right, you calling in. What's your take on the topic tonight?
Well, honestly,
what's up, Miles?
How's it going, man? What's going on, Elaine? But I look at it like this, especially during my generation right now. We're the worst because we learned from the generation before us. And as Zeddy was saying earlier about the word love, it means a lot, but yet my generation doesn't know the true meaning because of the simple fact we will chase after anything that moves. And that goes for both males and females.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The simple fact is a lot of people been hurt. So as Katie was just saying, that there's always someone out there for another person. That's true to an extent, I think. Because you may have to go through a lot. And then for females, if you go out with a lot of guys and you don't sleep with them all, but yet you sleep like with one or two, you're automatically labeled as fast. But yet if you're a guy and you sleep with a whole bunch of women, that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, it's a double standard.
Exactly, and that's the thing that's messed up about, especially, like I said, during my generation. It gets even worse now just for the simple fact girls go out with a lot of guys but don't sleep with them, but yet they will gain that reputation just because guys talk, and the simple fact guys are mad they didn't hit it.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, that's a lot of young high school stuff that a lot of adult guys and girls still do. What I'm speaking about is once you are established in a relationship, be it a live-in, long-term one, an exclusive one, and a marriage, okay, where there are other people involved. Does the affair hurt past just the physical and the announcement of the affair, like the discovery of it? There is so much more once you resolve that you've broken up, once you resolve that person's out of the house. There's still so much more that goes to that. Sometimes it goes on for years. Some people never recover.
Yeah.
I'm reading an article right now where the children, one child learned how to excel. Carla, I see you there. I'm going to bring you in just a minute. One child, there were two children involved in that Alexis and Tony example that I just gave. One child excelled very well in school. itself that didn't seem like anything affected her, and the other child started to be very abusive verbally, acting out that for the people. I saw another kid that saw his father cheat, and the mother just cried and dealt with whatever, and felt that that was the thing to do to women. And as a matter of fact, those type of sons grow up to disrespect them.
Well, you know, I was one of the ones that it affected when my mother and father split up. And it seemed like I was trying to strike out and get more attention because I wanted my father back home.
Sure.
And mind you, I didn't really have a great relationship with my father, but it just felt like it was supposed to be, you know, mom and dad at home.
Yeah, mom and dad.
Yeah. So and then when I came to a realization that he was with somebody else, I really started striking out because I didn't like the other woman he was messing with anyway. You know, so I started acting out on that. So it does affect more than just the two that are in the relationship. So that is true. It does affect more than just the two people that are involved.
Mhm. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it affected me too. When my mother and my father split up, I didn't know the reason why they split up until later when
right.
I got older. Then I was like, wait a minute, my father cheated on my mother. And the thing is, I met the woman that he was cheating with, and I'm like, okay, I liked her, but I didn't trust her. She's not my mom.
Right.
And then when my mother moved on to her current boyfriend, my stepfather, I didn't like him at all because there was something about him that I didn't trust. I guess he wasn't that, you know? I mean, kids, we have, like, certain instincts that we're like, you know what? He ain't that, but it's something about I don't like, you know? And usually the kid is right. But other times it's just, and after all, you know, we're trying to hit something, like, mom, he's not the one for you, dad, she's not the one for you, and we end up being wrong. Or other times end up being right. Like, see, I told you, they're not the one for you. I told you, they hit you, they do this to you, they do that to you. You know, and they're not the one for you. You're repeating yourself again. You know, so kids, they do have great instincts. And like I said, I had a good instinct on certain things. I was like, wait a minute, I don't like her, mom. There's something about him I don't like. But she's still with him all these years. All these years later, she's still with him. And I'm like, I still don't like him. But you know what? If he's your partner, then you know what? Then you stay with him. I'm going through a situation right now, like years ago, my ex cheated on me. And I found out the hard way, you know, and I couldn't move on from that. My daughter, when she sees me with a guy friend, and I don't have a boyfriend, there's a guy friend, she's like, I don't like him, mommy. I'm like, well, he's not my boyfriend, don't worry about it. He's just a friend. Because I don't have to say like that. But then when I do find someone, I have to see someone that will like her, and she has to she will like him too. So I have to find a way to balance it out in that manner, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy on that point. Then we have, I'm going to go into like a situation with a friend of mine that his ex cheated on him. But she cheated on him. She already had a kid from him, and she was still pregnant with his second child. But she still cheated when she was pregnant with the second child.
Wow.
You know, that's disgusting. That's just plain old disgusting, you know? And to the point that he just lost his complete trust. So that if another female comes around with him, and, you know, wants a serious relationship, he's not going to be able to take it seriously because of what happened in the past. He's still referring to the past. Same with a female.
I need to interject because I have a new panelist coming in. Just hang on a second, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hi, caller. You're on the air. Thank you for waiting.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, Shonda.
Hi.
Hello.
How y'all doing?
Hey,
okay.
Shonda.
We're looking for your feedback as well. So what's your take on tonight's topic?
I've been listening, and it just takes me back to, well, my dad been passed away 8 years. And my mother, she's a funny character, and she'd be like, this going to be y'all new daddy. And I'd be looking at her like, you got it twisted. I'll never have another daddy. You know what I'm saying? I'm damn near 20 years old, so you got it twisted. But if you want to have fun and do your thing, then you go head on. But don't ever in your life expect me to call him dad or stepdad or daddy, whatever, because it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, but and then another question I wanted to ask was, when you guys say that the dad cheated on the mom, did you ever find out what was the reason the dad cheated? Or was it just, okay, he cheated on my mama, I don't like nobody, you know, I'm just fed up, and da-da-da, you know what I'm saying? Was it a reason? I would like to know if it was a reason
the cheating happened. This is the whole thing about cheating in the first place. One thing that Golden Williams just said is this: if you're gonna get to the point where things you feel that way and you're in a relationship, and I'm gonna say more so for marriage, because I think marriage, you're obligated to make your marriage work until it can't be worked out anymore. And I believe that because that's something to be in before God, and I believe that. But now, don't get me wrong, all right? Marriage is, on the other hand, it doesn't always mean that because you got married, that's the person God wants for you. But you have to do everything you can to make sure that you haven't done anything to impact upon the marriage. But now, as far as asking why an affair is taking place, the affair shouldn't have taken place if there were problems. That should have been something at first between the two people that's in a relationship to talk through. That's what Mr. Williams brought up earlier that I believe is a big valid point. What's the communication like?
I can't hardly hear you, Katie.
Oh, God, yeah. Lord, help me. Give me a minute. Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah. Okay, I can hear you. But there was some background interference from somewhere.
That's the Devil Leaders Club trying to get in the way. So, you know, I'm back. I'm a firm believer that sex on the outside is never the solution to your inside problems. I do not believe in telling no other man about my problems with my man. Nor do I believe a woman should tell a guy about his problems, or a woman about his problems, I should say. Because I feel that it goes against cheating is in a lot of forms. Cheating is in a lot of
forms. Okay, and I'm gonna have to ask this question too. Okay, now I'll just put me and my husband. I would do this, like, for instance, it ain't happening, but for instance, we've been together 20 years, been married 17 years. Now, if he not treat me like I supposed to be treated, and I say something to him, and it, like, blows off or whatever, am I wrong for trying to find this treatment I need? You know what I'm saying? For me, personally, am I wrong? Or should, especially if he finds out, should he be mad because he done found out? But you ain't
okay,
treating
to...
this person like, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if...
My opinion on that is that evidently if he's not stepping up to the plate on something with your relationship, you two ought to be able to sit down and talk about that, and he should be man enough to want to remedy that.
Right. But if you kind of blow it off like somebody BSing with you, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? And it still ain't really like, okay, I done told him. Now, okay, if I go do my thing, you know, real quick or whatever, I ain't going to feel bad. But if he finds out, this is the way I'm still looking at it.
We would have to come together on this again. And look, I've already told you what I'm feeling, you know, and what's going on in this relationship. But it seems like you're not doing anything to remedy this. You're not doing it. You're not making an effort. I'm putting in all this effort. I'm bending over backwards to make sure this relationship works. But
right.
If you're not going to participate in that, let's bring this to a solution. Let's just go our separate ways if you're not willing to work on this. So evidently,
right.
The love is not there.
Right. But
you know,
you
that's
say
the way
lo-
I look at it.
Say
so
the
why,
love is
why,
not
why
there.
Why torment each other?
But I'm just saying, what if the love is there?
Mm-hmm.
But all the extra stuff ain't there that you want there. You know what I'm saying? What if...
Sandra, may I interject, please? I got to tell you something.
Okay.
Love is not a fix-all, sweetheart, and love requires work. That's a lot of things. Listen, a lot of people that break up or that was treated badly, listen, a lot of abusers love the people they abuse. But the thing is a relationship is work. Let me ask you a question. What happened? You got married. It's supposed to be for better or worse, for life and for death. Okay?
Right.
You're not going to be young and vibrant and able to have sex forever. You're not going to be able to run the streets and do whatever. You know what, God forbid, if one of you should be in a wheelchair bound for life.
Right.
You know, you're supposed to be there.
Right.
The love there is supposed to carry on through that. All
right?
The love is supposed to carry on through that.
Mm-hmm.
An affair shouldn't be a solution, and then you still live with the person. That's my personal belief. I don't think that you having an affair, trying to get the man's attention or the woman's attention or giving them a warning. If you feel that it's so bad in your house that you got to leave to go to the outside, you should not still be in the house with the person that you're with. You should be able to go your separate ways and say it's not worth it, unless you want to make it work, and then the affair has to be a non-option. It's got to be a non-negotiable rule that we're not ever going to have extramarital affairs. Because if that is the case, and I say this especially with a marriage, but on the other hand, especially in a marriage, both parties have to put their all into their marriage. Because even the Bible says that once you get married, you're supposed to forsake everybody else for your husband or your wife.
Okay.
You get background noise from somewhere.
I kind of see it, you know, that, you know, kind of, you know, a little bit that. But my whole thing is, I don't know, because I done seen it with a close friend of mine. She was always there for him no matter what. And he kind of, he treated her well, took care of the kids, I mean, everything. But it was more or less of a, he ain't really taking care of home like he should be.
And
she got to wait like so many months and it's not fair to her.
That is logical relationship.
Yes,
that is
not fair. That is not fair.
I mean, it's and when she said something, it was more or less like,
you're getting
you know, like,
right?
You know, are you serious type of, you know what I'm saying? What you mean, am I serious? Seemed like you would know this.
Right.
And so
right.
when she kind of, you know, did her own little thing or whatever, I feel like, go ahead, I take my hat off to you, babe. That, you know, that,
yes,
that's
why,
the way I was feeling, like, shoot, because you know how.
Why are you hanging around? Why are you hanging around with the person you thought you had to step out on? One or the other. That's just what it means to yourself. I do need to share this little thing because this is a factor also to why a lot of people hang around. Now, one of the reasons why I got into doing this type of a show and the thing that I did.
I know, I'm talking to Kate.
Can you speak? I mean, can you hear me?
My phone is clicking, y'all. Just a minute. I'm sorry.
Yeah, mine is as well. Don't. My mic is going in and out. One of the reasons why a lot of people stick into something that they know isn't working or won't work, no matter how many which ways you tweak it, is for other reasons. So, like, I'm going to tell you something. One of the reasons why my biggest mission was to do a show that outreaches and is the voice for the underdog or for the weak or for the scared or the frightened is because I was there. Okay? I had two different men in my life from the age of 18. One that I was with for 6 years and had four of the children. One that I was with for 16 years and had six of kids. Okay? So I will tell you, but I'm going to tell you this. I was abused by both men very badly, okay? And no matter how much you wish to get out of it, no matter how much you wish that there are things that you would like or whatever the case is, you are in such a prison of your own thinking based on what you've been given. Well, the first one I couldn't get away from because wherever I ran to, he followed. Until back to whatever the case is. There's a lot of background noise.
Now, I don't know how y'all feel when my background noise goes a little crazy.
Okay. The next one is that the next pick was more charismatic, but had no feeling, period. All right? And was physically abusive, doesn't respect his own mother. A lot of the things to that effect. But that one, it was really hard to get out of the abuse with that one because, first of all, it was more verbal, then it was more emotional, and then the beating started, and then the other thing started. By that time, I had 5 seconds. Getting up to run wasn't so easy. But then, after a while, we got to the point where he did everything provisionally. He went to work. He paid for the children. He paid for things in the house. He paid bills. But until slowly but surely, I started realizing he didn't do it because he was being a man in every aspect of the work. He was doing it because whenever he did decide to come home after cheating or drinking or hanging out or finding somebody that he could do it, he would want to have a TV with the remote too. He wants to be able to eat and have lights and AC whenever he did decide that coming home was what he wanted to do. But I love this man, at least I thought so much that maybe it was me. Maybe it was something that I wasn't doing that he went through before. Knowing damn well, and I'm going to tell you this for all of my domestically abused people out there, and men, you can be domestically abused
what?
Too. But just to be sure, cut them out yourself out and acknowledge that, and you'll be free. You are a victim in your own prison from things that's been given to you when you are in abuse. And let me tell you something. For those people that stick around with men and women that they know are doing wrong, they are hiding their eyes down to go, you know what, it must be me. At least he's coming home to me at the end of the day. What the hell is he bringing with him?
No, I don't agree with that. But, you know, firing DC coming home.
At least
no, but my whole thing, I guess I haven't got an answer to what my question was.
Let me finish.
Go ahead.
If you got to be in a position where you feel that you still want this man, but he ain't doing you right, and you feel I'm going to go step out on my own, step out completely. If you two are meant to be together, the changes that he needs to make and his willingness to be forgiven at any cost to get you back will come out. Because if it doesn't, then you'll know all along this is what it is. Is that easy to do? Hell no. But I'm going to tell you right now, the harder it is to do, it's a lot worse for you to be in a relationship with a person whose body is there and his mind and heart is not. And it's
y'all better read my post.
To have two physically embodied people that are absent-minded elsewhere. It's worse on the family. It's worse on you long term. Because that's twice the stuff you got to get over when you finally realize it's not happening. And I'm talking to all of you from a person that had to live it. Not because I'm sitting there reading some experts who I'm worth. I've watched people around me live it. I've seen people in domestic abuse shelters want to go back to their abusers, not because they want the abuse, but because it's all they know. And it's scary out there to try to start over. So your friend is doing the same thing.
You built up
time with the person. You don't want to just walk away from 15 years. You don't want to feel like all of that is a failure.
I don't think it's abuse by no means. This is a person that I have grew to love. You know what I'm saying? And I know how she is. And if she would just get what she missing in her relationship, then she would be all, you know what I'm saying? She would be all good. She would be still there or whatever. But when she say she had to kind of go get, you know, from an old friend when she grew up or whatever it was with, you know, whatever it was, and I'm like, okay, well, I kind of can't knock you because I don't know in my situation if it was me, would I do the same thing? You know what I'm saying? I love my husband totally, but if he wasn't giving me what I needed and I told him what I needed and I told him how I needed and when I needed, we need to compromise. Okay, if you can't give it to me 7 days of the week, can you give it to me 2 or 3? And if you can't give it to me two or three, then damn, what, we got to go one? And you still can't give it to me that one? And it's like months and months and months? I told her I ain't even mad at you because, to be honest, you know, I don't know if I might have did it my damn self, you know. Because, you know, I mean, to be, you know what I'm saying? And if Marlon hit us, y'all, he probably cut up on me. Y'all know how he is. But I'm just saying, I don't feel like that.
You more not going nowhere, so I'm not even thinking about that.
I'm just saying, I don't think it's fair, because like I said, she have said, you know, she done said it or whatever, and then you're not making it happen for this person, so that's, you know, that's, it's not right to me. But at the same time, she want to keep her family and keep the kids, keep whatever, you know what I'm saying? She still want to keep that, but she, you know, want to bust her a couple, basically. That's, you know what I'm saying? Shit, shoot. I can't really knock her myself.
Okay, keeping your family, owing that, keeping your family together. If she still loves the man, that's one thing, and she wants to make it work. And I guess that everybody has their own tired button. I'm tired of being tired button. What I'm saying is, feeding sex everybody. Now, if you're going to stay in a relationship that you know is not happening the way a relationship should be, if one person has to compromise, bend down, stretch over backwards, accommodate everybody else, understand one more time that, you know, I gotta pick up the weight again. That's not a relationship. It's not a relationship. If you got to keep on altering yourself and be, from who you are to be someone else or to accommodate someone else, that's not a relationship. Okay? It's not a relationship. That's number one. Number two, a lot of people will stay in a relationship because they don't want to give up, to start over. It doesn't matter. It may not be that they're getting beat. But there's other things that
and that I totally agree with that one, especially when you've been in it for, you know, a long time. It's like,
but
I don't want to start over.
That's true. But if you're sitting in a relationship and your children are seeing daddy come home with three different women and mommy coming home with three different men, what is that doing for them because you don't want to start over or because you don't want to leave something you built up? I've heard so many people say that. And when it finally does come to its natural end, as it should, it's horrible. The divorce or the breakup is worse than it would have been if you would have listened that hurt at that moment and made it a little more civil. You know, you have to think of everything involved. You have people that are watching their loved ones go down. I watched a family member of mine stay in a robe in depression for 6 months. Because of a breakup that she saw coming or didn't see coming, but little things she thought of after the fact.
Wow. But I don't know. I think it's hard, and if that person know his shortcomings or her shortcomings, and you do nothing about it, then you shouldn't even be surprised if whatever popped off to me. That's
indeed
the way,
I'm going to pose that, find that thought to the other panelists. Let me start with you, Deacon. What do you think about that? Let me hear some more from you. And I'm sorry, we just got a little heated, so.
I was just sitting back relaxing. Because it's a very well, the whole relationship situation could be very, very sticky and tricky at times, you know. And especially, well, I can sort of speak on something that possibly, well, I was dealing with it for a while, you know, in a relationship where it can be one-sided sometimes, where you think that a situation is one way and it's not, and then you've been in it for a long time, then you're starting to see a lot of things that you were blinded to before. When you were walking around with rose-colored glasses on and you didn't see it before because you didn't want to see it. And you'll go through a situation where you're bending over backwards and trying to make everybody else happy and you're not happy yourself. That's not a good situation at all, because you're really killing yourself when you're doing that. So that's why I'm a true believer in the two people getting together and letting each other know about their feelings and their emotions that they're dealing with. And if you really care and you say you love one another, you should be able to work that out. But if you try that and you're still not getting anywhere, it's time to go to that fork in the road. You know, I when I was coming up, my mother and father, well, my mother, she was in an abusive relationship with my father because he had a drinking problem, you know. And I was my mother's firstborn son, and she was really, I'm basically a mama's boy, and he knew that. And a lot of times if she wasn't home, he came home and took it out on me. You know, I could be in my bed sleeping. I got beat up out of my sleep because he was upset because she wasn't home. And relationships like that, they're not healthy at all for the two that are dealing with it and for their kids if they have children involved. So it's best for them to make adult choices. And when you got a situation like that, you both have to go to that fork in the road.
Mm-hmm. And Elaine? Well, I'm gonna say it like this. Love, according to people today in today's society, today's world, love doesn't exist anymore. I've heard a lot of people say love is, you know, there's no such thing as love anymore. Relationship is a joke right now. Nobody's getting married anymore. No one's taking it seriously anymore. And from whatever situation that they've been through, is out with their opinion. The situation that I've gone through, I've gone through a lot of problems as well, and I still believe in love. I still believe in love. There is love. There is someone out there for me, you know? I feel that there is someone out there for me. And even though I will have to wait for him, I will have to wait for it. You know, if I'm in a relationship and I find out that it is not stable between me and my partner, yes, I will talk about it. I will even go as far as going to couples therapy just to work it out. But if it gets to the point that my partner is saying that everything is my fault, that nothing is his fault, or, you know, then there's nothing to work out then anymore. There's nothing to work out there anymore. So you know what? We'll part ways. Just be with your child, you know, once a week, whenever you can. You know, pay the child support, and that's it. We just part ways from there on. You know? That's how I feel on that part. In situations that people are like, they don't trust anybody anymore, that's something that they have to start to move on from. Whatever happened in the past, they have to learn how to keep it in the past as much as they can and not bring it to the present or the future. Because whoever that they are, that they end up with in the present or in the future, could be the one that could pull them out, whatever psychological mess that they're in. And they don't realize that. They end up saying, you know what, I don't trust you. I can't move on in the relationship. I don't think it's going to work out, but I still want you, which makes no sense. If you don't trust the person that you have before, you're not going to trust the next person that is there. Even though as much as that person tries that they are the real for you, you're not going to see it because you're still stuck in the past. And that happens a lot with most people out there, men and women. If they don't trust anybody, then if there's a conclusion that you do trust that person that you're with, if you do trust that person that you're with, then you want to try to move forward. Don't stay in the past at all. If you trust that person, move forward. If you want to go slowly, go slowly. Don't rush into it. Everybody today, they just want to go here, they want to go there, they want to go this person's there, that person's there, that person's there, this person's there. And they forget, whoever has kids, they forget about their children. Now, if you're bringing kids in, you know, if you're bringing in a partner into the house just to mess around with them, your kids see it, that's a huge problem. That should never happen in the first place. That should never happen. You never bring anybody into the household if you're not serious with them. You never bring anybody into the household if you're not serious with. If it's just a one-night stand or a fling or a booty call, what they call it, then you know what? Keep it far away from your children because those kids are going to look at it and say, okay, my mom, she slept with this many men. My dad has slept with this many women. I think is normal. And it's not. It's not normal.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that it happens to all kids that they see it and they say, okay, I'm going to do the same thing. Some kids that say, you know what? Some kids are a little smaller that they'll look at it and say, you know what? My mom and dad are going through rough times. They find that person or they just want to play around. I don't want that. I want to feel a relationship. I want to stick to that one person who better, worse, sickness, and help. And yes, me, I would like to be married. I would love to get married to him. I don't have anybody, but that's why I want to get married. I want to love that person as much as God gives me. If that person left me and it's not the time, fine. It's not the time right now. But if he comes around and he shows me that this is the time that he's the one that I'm going further with him, I'm not going to replace my last relationship because it wasn't that great. It wasn't that great on my part. I've gone through a lot of things with him. I've gone through a lot. And the thing is, from him mentally abusing me and emotionally abusing me, I became the abuser, and I started beating him up. And everything became my fault because I laid a hand on him. And that's funny. I shouldn't have let it get that far, but I did. I became the abuser myself, and I laid a hand on him. And through that, I had to go see a therapist just to calm my anger down because of him. And the best thing that I can think of is get away from him. Which I did. I had to break it off with him. I said, you know what? You want to be with me? I can't be with you. These are the reasons why it's not going to work. He may not see it that way, but I do. And I have to move forward. Me, I have to push back my past and leave it there. And I have to keep going forward. So I have to find that person that I know I could trust and love. And I know he would trust me and love me as well. And that's what most people, they don't see it that way. They're stuck in the mind of, this person, I'm not going to trust this person because he or she is going to be just like my past. No. That person is completely different from your past. Now that you're doing the cycle again and meeting that same person that is just like your ex, which most of the time it does. It may happen. I think 50% of the time it may happen. But out of that other 50% of the time, it doesn't happen. You'll end up meeting that person that could be the one. And you feel it in your heart. You feel it in your soul that person is the one for you. And you do anything for that person to see that, yes, I am the one for you, but I know you're the one for me. There's a reason why God put certain things in our way just to make us, either go through, the obstacles just to get to that person or, just allow, pain and whatever and happiness just to see that, you can be near that person. If that person's the one for you, you go for it. If you're in a bad relationship, yes, talk it out, go to a couple of counseling, which I did. If it doesn't work, walk away. Walk away, shake hands, end it. Don't keep on battling each other saying it's going to work out and it doesn't work out. If you're in a relationship and you end up cheating, like I said all the way in the beginning of the show, it's a psychological problem. It's all a psychological problem because there's never a reason why the person cheated. They cheated or because they're bad in bed. All right, if they're bad in bed, why don't you make it up on it? Make it better. It shouldn't be on that factor. Oh, that person's bad in bed. That person's horrible at cleaning. That person's a horrible cook. That person's horrible in bringing in the money. Work it out. Find a way to listen. You can't bring in the money here. Okay, this is what we can do. Listen, I can help you on the cooking. Let's do this. Something to make it work. You really love that person? You'll do everything in your power to make it work. If it does, if you don't want it to work, then you end up breaking it. You might as well just break the relationship and just keep hurting the person that you supposedly love.
No.
And move on with someone else. Or move on alone.
I have to go to break for a minute, and we will be back to discuss this. So please, I'm asking you guys, hang out with me, and we can continue this discussion. Okay, so for those of you who do have knowledge that your partners are not the best people and they're not going to change any more time, the next song I'm going to play is something that you need to use as your anthem. It is called Cece Peniston's Keep On Walking. Be back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting, waiting, anticipating.
Hi, welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge show. That was CeCe Peniston's Keep On Walking, and I'm encouraging every one of you to play that song and live it. If you're living with an abusive partner, or if you're living, you're tired of living in a relationship where you are the one that's doing all of the work and this person is consistently cheating, because cheating is damaging on more levels than just the physical acts of it or the people involved with it. There's other things and other questions and other long-term effects that come from it. I'm going to bring back our panelists now. We lost one, but I'm going to bring in LaShonda Mosley from Flint, Michigan, and Lynn, our co-host, Lady Diamond, from New York, New York. Ladies, you're back on the air with me. Deacon Williams had to step off, so, just us now for the next 10 minutes, last 10 minutes.
Okay.
Oh, I think he's back. Hold on. Hold on a minute. You're on the air, caller?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, yeah, we got you back. All right, everybody's back on board.
All right, okay.
So I want to go to you, Deacon, again, then LaShonda. You take the mic after him. I want to ask again, your thoughts on...
There's some noise, background noise. I don't know where it's coming
from. I think we settled now. Okay. Deacon, your thoughts on whether or not cheating goes beyond, the effects of cheating goes beyond the affair itself.
Yes, I believe so. Because there's no way around it. It's not right, period, anyway. I mean, there's no truth to the relationship. As a matter of fact, there is no relationship if there's infidelity going on.
Mm-hmm. Very, very, very interesting. Very good point. LaShonda?
See, I don't know. I'm still stuck at the cheating. I done told you, but I want to keep my family together, and you still do nothing about it. So if I got to step out just to have this 20% done to me and come back home and feel, I haven't done it, but just listening to somebody and all it is like basically, okay, I just need this to be done to me, they can't do this to me, or they won't do this to me, and other than that, the whole relationship or whatever is good, then I don't know. I mean, it just really like, you know, I don't know.
Fair enough. Elaine?
Well, cheating is cheating. I mean, if you're in a relationship, take it seriously as possible. You go through your downfalls and everything like that. But if you really love that person, you go to back up without going somewhere else. It makes no sense. Why put a ring on the finger while you're in a relationship with someone if you're going to end up going elsewhere? You know, cheating is cheating. It's not supposed to happen.
Thank you all for that. My opinion, I agree with you, Deacon Williams, and you, Elaine, and LaShonda. I could even understand where you're coming from. But bottom line is, if you're in a relationship and you're cheating, then you don't have a relationship. It's not like, accidents happen, one night affair, that's already something you're going to have to get over. But if you are cheating, you are having an affair, you have no relationship. You need to pick one or the other. And if there's something in the affair that you're not getting from home and that wasn't communicated to your partner, you didn't do your partner the service of allowing them to make a change. You went out
but
and did
if
what you,
you
wanted
if
to
you,
do.
If you do, if you, if your partner know, then that's where I think I'm hung up at.
If your partner knows and they're not doing it for you, you saying?
Right, but yet and still you want to keep your family and keep, you know what I'm saying, keep, you
so
know,
why
keep
be
everything.
Guilty of doing something that's wrong? Why be guilty of doing something that's wrong? If your partner's doing it and it's bothering you.
What about
you,
this person don't feel guilty, though? What
okay,
about that?
Okay, then I guess there's nothing for them to worry about. But the effects of cheating is
a psychological problem.
It is cheating. It's wrong. If you're in a relationship, and I say more so to people that are with living the marriage life and are married, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because you've established, even if you don't have the ring and papers, you've established a married life, an exclusive relationship. So the hurt that comes from that is going to come to a marriage. Okay, so that's one. Number two, if you need to be with another person, you don't need to be with the person you're with. And I'm
right.
sorry, but that's
but
just
my sister. I kind of agree with that, too, so.
Yes. I know you and Mo can talk about everything. So if there
right.
was something
oh,
Mo
yeah.
was doing and you're feeling a little less than yourself or a little less than perfect in his eyes, you need to find out maybe the studio got to him a little bit. Maybe he's
mm-hmm.
feeling his own little thing. Maybe he's feeling bad about himself. You know,
or even if it was me that felt like, you know what I'm saying, then I should
right.
be able to go to him and let him know. Which, you know, we got this understanding over here. But my whole thing is, I was almost feeling my homegirl. I'm like, you know what? I almost was like, shoot, I'd have did it too. You know what I'm saying? That's the way I was feeling with the situation. And I really didn't know if that was, you know.
Let me just bring them in real quick.
Hello?
We got 4 minutes, so are you in? Are you in? Can you hear us?
Phone died earlier.
Okay. Whoever this is, you got to speak up much louder.
Oh, my fault. Phone died earlier.
Oh, hi, Miles.
So.
Okay, it's Miles, everybody. Okay.
What's up?
So let me get your last take in on this, Miles, because you're the newbie here. Does cheating have more than just the obvious effects on people involved? More than just the yelling and screaming, you walk in on the person, you heard about it. Is there more long-term and unseen damages done by cheating?
Honestly, there is, because of the fact that cheating does cause more stress on the person as they did it to, and the fact it's going to drive them crazy for the rest of their lives, and they're going to look at themselves in negative ways, or they're going to flip the page on someone else and do whatever their spouse did to them, to that person.
So you said the answer was yes to that question?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard you say no. I'm sorry. Okay. And so, LaShonda, you a yes or no on that question? Do you think cheating has
like
more?
Like I said, it never happened to me. But I mean, I don't know how you know what I'm saying. Especially being a mother, a wife. You know, I don't know. I mean, I honestly don't know. But to look at it in somebody else's eyes, like, okay, you giving your 100% and your dude or husband don't want to do A plus B, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. It's kind of iffy for me. But I wouldn't do it because, like I said, we would talk and, you know, kind of come to agreement. And if we can't come to agreement, then somebody, maybe somebody need to move on. You know,
indeed. I mean,
if it was
just me. It should always be about talking, getting to the bottom of it, giving it your all. If the relationship is a relationship, if somebody is going through the motions or like the idea of being able to tell their friends that they got a family at home but they're not willing to do the work, then that's not a relationship. You are two co-parents with children that share property. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you right now, that is not a relationship. And because a relationship involves emotion, you can't do things like a robot and think that there's going to be no effect. So that's one. Two, if it's a relationship and it's an exclusive one, okay, then you should not be involving outsiders to solve your damn problem. How does that help? How often has a woman been able to cry on a man's shoulder about her problem with her man and it not be something that person tries to use to get his own way? And vice versa, with a man telling a woman about his problems with his girl.
How often and does that too, work? And then, too, I feel like I shouldn't really even have to tell you nothing. You should know when things ain't popping off like it should be.
You are one of the examples of what is old school love, and that's beautiful. And I think that's why you're having such a hard time knowing that you. And we do. I'm getting the little call here that we're about to. We got to sign off soon. So I want to continue this tomorrow. There will be a part two to this, starting with this talk, and then there's going to be a different angle. So I will see all of you tomorrow here, Friday night at 8. The Spread Your Wings Showcase is going to be moved to Saturdays permanently from now on. So there's no interference with the topics or with this, with the showcasing. So let Mo know, okay? Every Saturday,
okay.
You can see the time. Everybody, please be blessed. Please make a difference. Do not cheat. If you got to cheat, you know, figure out a way to talk or find a place to go where other people won't be hurt. Think about everyone that's involved with it, more than just the physical. So with that being said, everyone, good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
On the Edge, we'll talk about real issues.